So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text 4. Rahugana converses with Jad Bharat.
Navasatoya jani atma buddhis. Atma buddhis. Tatastato davati bho atavyam. Pachicha vyatyo tita pangsu dumra. Pangsu dumra. Isona janati rajasva laksha. Visayatoya dravinatma bhutis. Tatastato dhavati bo atavyam. Vajitcha vyatyo hita pongsa dhamra. Isona janati rajasva laksha. Nivasatoya jani atma bhutis. Tatastato dhavati ho atavyam. Achichavat yodita pangsudhumra. Isona janati rajasva laksha. So na janati rajasva lakshaha. Jivasatoya dravinatma buddhis. Tastato davati bhavatavyam. Iso na jananti radasva lakshaha. Nivasatoya dhalinatva buddhis. Tastato dhavati bhavatavyam. Vajitavatya bhavatavyam subhunga.
Anyone else? Ladies?
Vasatoya Janinatma Buddhis. Tastato Davati Bhavatavyam. So na janati rajasva lakshaha.
Okay. Nivasa. Residential place. Toya. Water. Dravina. Wealth. Atmabuddhi. Who considers these material things the Atma or Self.
Tataha, tataha,
here and there.
Davati,
he runs.
Abho,
O king.
Atavhyam,
on the forest path of material existence.
Vachitcha,
and sometimes.
Vatya,
by the whirlwind.
Utita,
raised.
Pangsu,
by dust.
Dunraha,
appears smoke colored.
Dishaha,
the directions.
Na,
not.
Janati,
knows. Rajavalya Aksha, whose eyes are covered by the dust of the wind, or who is captivated by his wife during her menstrual period. Hare Krishna. Got that? Translation. My dear king, the merchant on the forest path of material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust, he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus, his eyes are blinded, and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Okay, you can repeat after me. My dear king, the merchant on the forest path of material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus his eyes are blinded, and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is said that household attraction resides in the wife because sex is the center of household life. Yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukam hichucham. A materialistic person making his wife the center of attraction works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. Those who strictly follow the rules and regulations of householder life engage in sex only once a month, and at the end of the menstrual period. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife. Thus it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by different demigods, especially the sun god, and are being recorded for the karma of one's next body. Astrological calculations are called Jyoti Shastra because the Jyoti, or effulgence, in the material world comes from different stars and planets. The science is called Jyoti Shastra, the science of luminaries. By the calculations of Jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries, the stars, the sun, and moon, witness the activities of the conditioned soul. Thus he is awarded a particular type of body. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material existence does not at all consider that his activities are being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sinful activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanshakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak today. I'll try to say some things, although I am unqualified. It's very nice being back in Juhu, a place where Srila Prabhupada fought and worked so hard to establish for the pleasure of the Lord and the devotees. Because after all, without the devotees, these are simply buildings, right? But the devotees are like jewels that bedeck the temple. Otherwise, it is simply an empty building. So all of you are Krishna's jewels, working so hard in his service, trying to more and more get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada through your hard efforts. And this is how we do it. By pleasing the spiritual master, we get the result of our Krishna consciousness, which is further and further advancement. So we can give up these lusty things in the material world that we're reading about here in this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very interesting verse. This whole chapter actually speaks about household life and dangerous forest of material existence in which it dwells. It's compared previously in previous verses that household life, the wife, the children, like that are compared to tigers and jackals. The man is working so hard for money to maintain his family and just wanting. But what is the real want in this world? What is the real want? What is the real need? The real need is self-realization. Because without self-realization, then we're no better than the animals. There's no difference. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So what we have to look forward to in this world without Krishna consciousness is simply birth, death, old age, and disease. But with Krishna consciousness, we have the opportunity to make advancement in spiritual life and hopefully evolve more and more and more all the way back to the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the beauty in which Srila Prabhupada gave to us all of this Vedic knowledge here. And this verse is like pretty amazing, pretty powerful. Some amazing things said here. One word here we see, it says, "My dear king, on the merchant on the forest path of the material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and so forth." The word victimized stands out to me because we're all victims in the material world without Krishna consciousness. And this verse really does not apply to Vaishnavas, men or women, because Vaishnavas are above all these things, hopefully. At least we're striving for that. Lust will always be there, but we have to learn to conquer it. And Krishna calls it our eternal enemy, right? Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajoguna, Samud Bhavaha, Mahasano, Mahapatma, Vidimam, Hivarimam. Krishna said that, "My dear Arjuna, this lust..." what is the exact verse? My mind's a little... I have it here. "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the modes of material passion, later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world." And Prabhupada says here, when a living entity comes in contact with material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust, an association of the mode of passion. In other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust, as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. So this lust, actually Prabhupada explains here, exists in Krishna. But here in the material world, it's completely perverted. So the Prabhupada says, "Therefore the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If therefore lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything from Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Hanuman, the great servitor of the Lord Ram, engaged his wrath upon his enemies for the satisfaction of the Lord." So therefore, Prabhupada says that lust and wrath, when employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friends and not our enemies. So we should use all of our available energy, you know, our lust, transform that into bhakti yoga for Krishna, devotional service. I remember when I was young and all fired up, and you know, we would use all of our energy for Krishna. You know, get up early, as you all do. You know, attend the Prabhupada called the transcendental sandwich, the morning program, the evening program, and then in the middle, so much bhakti yoga, so much devotional service. But we used to get up and right after the morning program, go out to the airport in Chicago. Prabhupada called it O Hare Krishna Airport. It was a very amazing place to do Sankirtan. We had full run of the airport. So a van would pull up and it would be Tripurari Maharaj, Vaishyasika Prabhu, Kalki, all these great godbrothers of mine. And we just rushed the airport. And we had full run of the airport. There were no restrictions. There were no booths. There were no lines you couldn't cross. And we engaged all day, all our energy, just to distribute Prabhupada's books, because we knew that this was his desire. This was his heartbeat. It said that every time a book was printed, he felt like he was conquering an empire. And he said that he established these temples not for places where people can eat and sleep, right? But as bases for the soldiers to go out and fight with Maya. He said, just like during wartime, the planes are dropping bombs like anything. Bombs are raining from the sky. So similarly, Prabhupada said that we have to distribute thousands and millions of books upon the conditioned souls. Then Prabhupada's mission was Prabhupada was the greatest revolutionary. He started a whole revolution in consciousness. The minute Srila Prabhupada stepped his foot on Boston Harbor, the whole world started to change. There's no question that people's consciousness started to change. They wanted to know more of the truth. They were fed up with material things. Lord Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada right at the perfect time, the perfect window of opportunity to preach Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And that was Krishna's glorification of his devotee, because Krishna likes to see his devotee glorified more than himself. Otherwise, Columbus may have discovered India. You understand? Columbus was looking for India. And at the same time, he came to America. He didn't know where he was. That's why he called the people Indians. That's why in America we have cowboys and Indians. But at that same time, if Columbus would have went to actually discovered India, Mahaprabhu would have been 6 years old. In 1492, he would have been 6 years old. And then all the people would have known those trade routes, they would have been coming to India, and the whole situation, the whole karma of the world would have actually been changed. It wouldn't have been the same. But Krishna made Columbus go like this and end up here. Why? For the glorification of Srila Prabhupada, without a doubt. And Srila Prabhupada came. He taught the science of love of God in the age of science. All the communications, everything traveled so fast. This Krishna consciousness movement spread like wildfire. It was amazing. And first the beginning and the devotees came. Gurudas, Shama Sundar, all the early devotees came to assist Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would send some here to open a temple, some there. Gradually began to grow in San Francisco, and then the devotees went to London, and then it turns out that George Harrison, one of the most famous people in the world, a member of the Beatles, is a great Krishna Bhakta. Who would have known? And through his help, Krishna consciousness spread so fast. We used to go, you know, in Krishna book, right? You see George Harrison's name, right? You've all seen. Everybody's looking for Krishna. Some don't realize that they are, but they are. So George Harrison wrote these words. So we used to go out to the airport, to O Hare Krishna Airport, and simply some people who were into that music, and you could just show them George Harrison's name, And they would immediately buy a book. So it made it very easy to sell Krishna books and sell Prabhupada's books. So all these things were arranged by Krishna and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to push on this movement. And I know that Srila Prabhupada is so very proud of all the devotees and grateful that helped him push on this movement and gave their lives. And then we have the next generation of his grandsons, and all of you have come to help Srila Prabhupada in this mission. So this is the way that we conquer lust. All these verses are all about lust, material entanglement, and we're so fortunate that we're able to have the opportunity to get out of here, to have the keys to life, to have the keys to success. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nyasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranita. So Mahaprabhu has given us this beautiful Sankirtan movement. Jai Krishna. And the process is so simple. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. What could be more nice? Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this Sankirtan movement that we can take advantage of and get out of here, go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada was trying to, through his books, through all the Vedic wisdom, purify the hearts of the world. Especially the leaders, because whatever the great men do, common men follow. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So it was Prabhupada's mission to do this. I remember in Chicago, you might have read in Science of Self-Realization. Who has read The Science of Self-Realization? Haribo. There's one chapter called Crime, Why, and What to Do. And Prabhupada spoke to one Lieutenant Mosley in Chicago. He was a lieutenant. He was actually sent there by his superiors to meet Srila Prabhupada. Because when Prabhupada came, he saw the headlines in the Chicago newspaper, Crime, Why, and What to Do. So Prabhupada immediately jumped on that. He said, we have the answers. We know what to do. So the authorities in Chicago sent Lieutenant Mosley. I was fortunate to be in that room and during that conversation. And Lieutenant Mosley was very respectful to Srila Prabhupada. It was really a beautiful exchange. So when you read it, you can feel that, how respectful he was to Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada's point to him was that there is crime and criminals. Why? Because the heart is dirty. You can have some artificial way. You put them in jail, and then after so many years, you release them, but their heart is still dirty. So what is the use? He said, so our Krishna consciousness movement, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, along with taking Maha Prasad, our favorite pastime, will purify the hearts of these people. So Prabhupada asked them, Lieutenant Mosley, he said, you should give us these buildings. Give us big buildings, and we will come and we will have big kirtan, we will bring our devotees, we will have mass prasadam distribution, and we will purify the hearts of these people. And Lieutenant Mosley was very taken aback by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked him again. He said, so you can do this? Prabhupada was serious. He wasn't pulling punches or just talking for the sake of talking that we want some buildings. No, we want these buildings. You should give them to us. We will fill them up. Huh? We will have kirtan, and we will distribute prasadam, and you will see the effect on these people. So at the end, Lieutenant Mosley, he said, well, I'll bring this back to my superiors, and we'll see what they say. But they never did give any buildings, so unfortunately. But Prabhupada, it wasn't his concern whether they gave or not. His concern was to get out the message, to get out the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and try to instill within the leaders of the world this Krishna consciousness, because it is the only hope. Everything else is just, it's just a mess out there, isn't it? I mean, this here in Juhu, we have a bubble of transcendental bliss. But if you go outside in Bombay, who wants to be out there? all the cities in the world are the same, Prabhu. It's not that Bombay or any city in India is any worse than Chicago or L.A. or New York or anywhere. They're all hellish places, simply full of, you know, people that are doing abominable things, eating abominable things, seeing abominable things. Everything is simply centered around the body. And it's a struggle. They're all miserable. Nobody is happy. There is no happiness in this material world. This is one thing we have to learn. We have to know that there's no happiness in the material world. There's nothing out there. So when you come to Krishna, don't ever turn around from Krishna. There is nothing else but Krishna. Only Krishna. Do everything for Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clearly so many things, but he's Maya Vangso, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Manaksa Stani Indriyani, Prakriti Stani Karshit. Isn't it? That the living entities are my eternal fragmental parts, but due to conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. And the mind and the intelligence are the sitting places, Krishna explains, of this lust. So, there's different degrees of this lust, as Krishna explains here. As fire is covered by smoke, as the mirror is covered by dust, as the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. So Prabhupada fought very, very, very hard against the scientists specifically, because he knew that they were the ones who were leading people to hell. With all their scientific advancement, so tried to make life so easy and so joyful. But it's all Maya. It's all an illusion. All it does is make more problems, right? So many modern amenities, but we have polluted the air. We have polluted the water. We have polluted the mind and intelligence of the people, of our cities, of our society. All for what? All for what? For some temporary little so-called happiness, which is not even happiness. Real happiness comes from Krishna consciousness, from surrendering to Krishna, isn't it? Always engaged in Krishna consciousness. Tesam satata yuktanam banjitam prittipurvikam yadadi buddhi yogam tam yenamam upanipitam. Satatam, 24 hours a day, engaged in Krishna's service. That will make us happy. That will take us out of these shackles of material life. We're all shackled here, you know. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we're becoming unshackled. So Prabhupada fought very hard, preached, you all know how hard he preached against the scientists. That was one thing that he really enjoyed, was blasting the scientists. I remember one morning walk in Chicago. I was very fortunate because I was a Sankirtan devotee, so I demanded to go on the morning walks when Prabhupada came. Prabhupada came in 74 and 75, and I went on most of the morning walks. He stayed 5 days each time, something. But one morning walk in particular, Srila Prabhupada used to walk by Northwestern University. It's very beautiful grounds, beautiful college by Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan's almost like an ocean. It's huge. So Prabhupada would walk. So one day he was walking, and at the end of the, at the halfway point where he could turn around, there was some kind of grass and a little sand. So we see Prabhupada was going to sit on that grass. So we ran ahead and put our chatters down. And Prabhupada sat down and immediately just started hammering on the scientists. He said, they think they have conclusive evidence of life, that life comes from matter. He said, they are digging out some bones from the ground. And then he took his beautiful lotus hands and he started to dig in the sand with his hands, Prabhupada. He said, they are digging, 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 just like the dog. He said, therefore, it is dog philosophy. And devotees like that very much. So Prabhupada took every opportunity to just completely smash the material scientists. I can remember in Vrindavan, I was very fortunate. I was just a foot soldier, but somehow I got to spend some extraordinary time with Srila Prabhupada. So I remember in Vrindavan in 1976 when Hung Saduda Prabhu at the time, he went to Sri Lanka and there was a big science convention. Some big scientists were there. And he did very well. He defeated all these scientists with his Krishna consciousness. And when he came back to Vrindavan, I remember Srila Prabhupada came out when he heard Hung Saduda was coming and out of his quarters and grabbed him and was hugging him. And he was saying, "Thank you very much. Thank you very much." He was so excited. Like a little boy. He was like just so jubilant, like anything. And Hung Saduda Maharaj at the time just blasted these scientists, you know. So this is a great opportunity, Krishna consciousness, to, you know, speak the truth to people. You know, on book distribution, we were young devotees, and it was just incredible. I mean, people would come through. O'Hare Airport was the busiest airport in the world, so we had every kind of person in the world you can imagine coming through that airport. It was just an intense energy. But anybody that came through, as you know, I was a young boy. I joined the movement when I was 17. So I'm 18 years old out at the airport, 19, 20, 21, 22, 20. And we could defeat anybody who argued with us. Even scientists come through, scholars, you know, this, that. They could not defeat us. We, you know, if there was, we tried not to spend too much time. You know, basically our mission was to give out books and move on to the next person. But sometimes, you know, somebody would say something and you'd just blast them, you know. That was Prabhupada's mercy. He gave us the weapons to drive away the dogs of Maya, you know. So, it was his mercy. Yeah, another morning walk, you know, was, I remember in Chicago, Srila Prabhupada. We were coming back and the morning walk was over, and Prabhupada was going to his car. So his car is parked on the street here, and then there's like 10 yards of grass, and then the pathway was here. So I was standing right next to Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, and there must have been about Vishnu Jan Maharaj was there, Brahmananda, Sudama. There must have been 10 or 12 sannyasis there. And so one man came riding up on a bicycle really fast, and he stopped like right before Prabhupada, you know, and I was like the kshatriya of the temple, so I was ready to get this guy if he had any, you know, he was going to do something weird or something, you know. But he said to Prabhupada, he said, "Hey," he looked right at Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Hey, how come some of those guys are carrying sticks?" Talking about the sannyasis. The Prabhupada said, "To chase away dogs." You know, all the devotees were cracking up, and the guy just rode away. I think Goswami Tamal Krishna Maharaj invited him to the temple, but this was Prabhupada's mission, to drive away the dogs of Maya through Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So this is this is how we can counteract the effects of the lust of the material world, is jump into the ointment of Krishna consciousness. You know, it's like in the yoga system, Prabhupada talks about people are on different levels in their Krishna consciousness, right? So we all have sores from the material world. Someone may have a little sore and just need a little ointment. Someone may have sores, materially speaking, all over their body, so you have to dunk them in the ointment of Krishna consciousness, the whole body. You just dunk in, right? So we have to surrender. No matter how much you creep up to the sea, you have to eventually get in there and jump in, right? So the same in Krishna consciousness. We need to dive in and do what we can for Prabhupada, distribute books, and get out of this material world. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions, corrections? Chastisements. Nothing? Yadubar?
Hare Krishna. Krishna is the controller of Maya.
Huh?
Krishna is a controller of Maya. Right?
I didn't understand.
Krishna can control Maya.
Krishna is in control of Maya, yeah. Yes.
And Maya's chief general is lust. Lust is the main thing.
Yeah.
And if we read the newspaper, all the sad and bad news can be traced back to lust. That because of lust, this bad thing happened or sad thing happened. So why Krishna cannot water down the lust in the society?
Well, because we have the free will. We have free will to serve Krishna or serve Maya. And Maya will never water down the lust. That's not the job. The job is to keep poking with as much lust as possible to keep us shackled here. But Krishna, he's all loving. He's always coming to the material world to try to get us out of here. Isn't he? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bhavita abhutanam dharmasya tadatmanam sujamiham kritranaya sattva. Krishna's always coming here to get us out. Or he's sending his representatives to get us out. But it is the job of Maya to keep this lust very powerful. Because Krishna is not easy. He's not some cheap God. You understand? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the hearts of all living beings. Right? So many verses in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Hridi, I'm in the heart. Shivasya Chaham Hridi Sanyasya. So many verses. So just like here, Prabhupada saying that there's witnesses to all of our actions, the sun, the moons. He says especially the sun god is seeing all these things. But Krishna is also seeing everything. And it says in Bhagavad Gita, according to our actions, we take a certain type of nose, certain type of eyes, certain type of ears. Not necessarily it's going to be a human being. God forbid we slide down into animal life, which is abominable. This is what Prabhupada has saved the world from, saved us all for sure from that. So lust will always be there, and be strong, Prabhu. It will never be watered down. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice class.
Hare Krishna.
In your experience, personal experience, what is your main weapon for conquering lust?
My main weapon?
Yeah.
To conquer?
Conquer lust.
Oh. Wherever Srila Prabhupada went in the world, devotees asked them basically the same question. Srila Prabhupada, how can we please you in the best way? And Prabhupada's answer was always the same. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So the real weapon for conquering lust is to really, really, really get a taste for the holy name and keep that taste constant within the mind and within the heart. And then there's a chance that we can conquer this eternal enemy called lust. That's how, Prabhu, you know, when we become attached to the holy names, when we get a taste, this ruchi for the holy names, then we can conquer. We can conquer over all these material things, isn't it? And that taste, we're always hankering more and more and more. And the devotees, they're like bumblebees. They're looking for the nectar, always. Once you have the taste, then the taste of these other things is like terrible poison, even to think about it. So my personal weapon, and all of our weapon, I would imagine, I hope, is this ruchi for the holy names of the Lord. And we can conquer over. Because when we have a taste, then look at all the knowledge in Srimad Bhagavatam. Look at all the amazing stories and pastimes, isn't it? And we can accept these things so easily. Why? Because we've already had a taste for the holy name. Krishna has given us a strong taste. Especially in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, didn't we all get a really strong dose of Krishna consciousness? And so we're always hankering after that, hankering after, and that's what we should be hankering after. We have all the knowledge, we have all the tools, what lust is, Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's all there. So just take advantage of what Prabhupada has given us, all the knowledge, and more importantly, my answer to your question, Prabhuji, is the taste for the holy name, and keep it a constant in the mind and in the heart. Because what we see with these eyes, unless we're seeing the Vaishnavas or the Lord, whatever else we see with these eyes is just useless. All these things in the material world. So we keep Krishna's holy name a constant. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Bol. I think Yadubha already knew that. Hare Krishna. Anything else, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, would you like to share with us something about your first meeting with Srila Prabhupada?
My first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. Yes. When I was a young boy, I was 16 years old. My father owned a very famous restaurant in Chicago. Actually, Radhanath Swami's family knew my family before we were devotees. It's a very famous restaurant. My father wanted to get me out of the city because there were so many hippies. And I was a young... he was trying to help me. I was a young boy. So he bought this farm north of Chicago in the country. But at that time, I was going through changes. I wanted to find God. I was seeking God. So I was praying to Jesus because I was raised Catholic. I'm an Italian. My body is Italian. I was born in Chicago. So we're all Catholics. So Jesus was always very special to me. But I never made a big deal out of it when I was growing up. And in my heart, I always would think of him. Anyways, so I was in the forest and I was praying to Jesus, who is your father? What is life about? What is the truth? Because everybody's saying so many things. I just need you to tell me the truth. So I was living in a tent. I had a tent and I was eating apples and peanut butter and water. And that was basically my diet. I had already become a vegetarian somehow by Krishna's mercy. So one day I was in the forest and I had a dog. He was my friend. He was a Doberman Pinscher. He was a fighting dog. And so we were hiking way in the forest. And I was sitting down to rest and my dog was maybe 20 yards away and he was sniffing. And he was jumping like very intensely and I was going, what is he doing? Maybe there's a dead rabbit or something. So I went over and looked at that spot, and I looked right at Krishna Book. Krishna Book was laying in the forest, and the first thing I saw was a picture of Srila Prabhupada, his transcendental head, his bust on the back of the small Krishna Book trilogy. That's the first time I saw Prabhupada. And I turned it over and it said Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I started by the phrase by George Harrison, I started chanting Hare Krishna. I never knew there was a Hare Krishna movement. I never knew there were devotees. I never knew anything. So I was chanting for like 6 months before I ever knew there was a devotee, and I was in ecstasy. I would try to tell my friends, they thought I was crazy. So so I would take my dog and just drive for days into Wisconsin and Minnesota, all through America, and just chanting with my dog because he couldn't talk back. He had to listen. So I chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So finally I found out there was a temple. I went to the temple and pretty much my material life was finished. And then Srila Prabhupada came the next year in 1974. And I'll never forget seeing him personally. It was quite overwhelming. There must have been 300 devotees. Yadubar filmed it. How many devotees were there, Yadubar? Hundreds. A couple hundred. Huh? Yes, so many. And Prabhupada, I remember the doors opened up and everybody hit the ground. Come on, Vishnu Padaya. And I still hadn't seen Prabhupada. But when I got up, Prabhupada came out. And he was so effulgent that words cannot even describe. Prabhupada had the ability, in a room of so many people, to give you some special mercy that no one else could see. Unbelievable. But I'm not saying no one else could see it, I'm sure. But what I saw was Prabhupada was so effulgent. It was like overwhelming for me. And you could see around him, there were other personalities that were obviously there, but you couldn't see. And then all the devotees were in ecstasy in the kirtan, and Jam Prabhupada, wow. And then Jagadish, he was a GBC, he stuck an umbrella in my hand. But it wasn't just like a light umbrella. It was an umbrella from the old Vyasa sign in Chicago, because we made Prabhupada a new one, and it was really heavy. It was like big, with tassels, and it had a big conduit pipe that went all the way to the ground. It was really awkward. You had to be strong to hold this thing. So he gave me it, and I held it over Prabhupada's head, and somebody stepped on the back of my dhoti, and I almost tripped. That's on film. But then as the procession went along, that pipe touched the back of Prabhupada's dhoti. And during this whole kirtan, and everybody's jumping into the ceiling, and Prabhupada stopped and turned and looked right at me. I was like, whoa. It wasn't like he was angry. He was really giving me mercy, but you could see that I could see that he knew everything about me, where I came from, who I was. It was quite overwhelming. So that was my first meeting. Thank you for asking, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, and Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Anything else?
When I came to know you are here last night, I saw the Jolly Swami film at the end. There are some interviews and yourself speaking about our Sridhar Swami. And there was one incident at the doorway. He is leaping, and you are asking where you are going, and he is saying...
You remember?
Yeah, I just saw it last night again. So, can you please?
And he said, back home, back to Godhead.
Yeah.
Do you hear what he said? He said, Sridhar Swami, it was actually one of the last times I saw Sridhar Swami Maharaj. And he was going through the front doors right here out, and I was standing in the middle, in the doorway. And I said, Maharaj, where are you going? And he leaped through the doorway, and he said, back home, back to Godhead. Haribo. So he's remembering that. Very nice, Prabhu. Sridhar Swami Maharaj ki. Haribo. Okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.